Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Shalom. Shalom, shalom. Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashua. Jesus Christ. We greet you and salute you in that awesome and fearsome name of the Son of God, the Son of Yahweh, eternal God. I have the privilege, and I thank God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I acknowledge today, and all the saints everywhere in every place under the sun, and all that are seeking and searching for the better and the more perfect way, I thank my God for this moment. Ordained by the living God, my name is Brother Lee from the windy city of Chicago, Illinois, USA. Normally, this is Friday night or Saturday, what we call the seventh day, and it is often referred to as the seventh day, the Sabbath under the Old Testament speaking. But every day is precious and holy and great in the sight of the Most High God. There are some special days in recognition which are good. But every day that you breathe and have your being in Jesus Christ is an awesome, fearsome moment of time. God, even Jesus, has given you that gift of that day. Now, Blog Talk Radio, it's been on for almost, I guess, 2 years. And thank God to Brother Emmanuel Murphy and for his desire and for his moving to open the door to strategize the opportunity that the Word of God, the gospel, the restored gospel of hope, redemption and deliverance shall go to all of the earth. Because Jesus said in Matthew 24:12-14, excuse me, I pray in the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I submit myself for the glory and the purpose of the Lamb of God, and I say yes to him. And this hour may be used and may be blessed, and maybe it means that someone will have hope, eternity, and find the path of light and truth. Let it be so, Lord Jesus. Let it be so at this the midnight hour. All right, beloved. Block Radio, you may have a difficult day for calling in. Normally, every day, it's 7 p.m. I guess it's, what is it, Central Standard Time? 7 p.m. You may tune in. And wherever you're at hours, I think, what is it? Is it Central Time? I guess it is. You may have a means to tap in. But if you don't have a computer or so, you can call in. And the caller number is by telephone, it's 323-870-3403. And you may listen, or you may also have a prayer request, or you may want to have something interesting to say. So feel free. If you're inquiring about the gospel, about salvation, about the plan of the Most High God, or the biblical purpose of God while you're on this earth, please call in. We will not try to embarrass you. We're not in there to debate. We're there to share, to testify, and reveal what we know about the plan of Jesus Christ and for the Father, for mankind. Tonight normally is called Handmaidens Night, where women, the women of God, our dear sister Lurleen Anderson, and Helen Teagle Grant, and Sister Lurleen from Pennsylvania, off and on. But tonight, it's going to be a discourse by me just sharing a few things, since there's a little problem. Technology has gone afray, so you may not be able to call in. You may have to go back and recover this sharing and this testimony tonight. I believe in a heart-to-heart and face-to-face. A lot of time I just don't follow the protocol of scripture. I just have a heart-to-heart talk sharing with people around the globe concerning the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope for mankind, the only hope, the only way and hope out of a chaotic, confused, troubled world. Redemption, recovery, reconciliation, and restoration. All through and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who's often refers in the Hebrew as Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Holy One of Israel, the risen Christ. Now, my name is not that important, but just a servant of Jesus Christ through the redemption and the power of his resurrection through his blood and new birth. A servant, seeking to be a faithful servant, seeking constantly to be a true and faithful servant of the gospel of Christ. Lord, anoint whatever this is heard, anoint their ears to receive something that may help them and bless them and give them direction and give them hope and give them inspiration and open their eyes, give some answers and instructions. And for you have not planned that anyone should remain in darkness and in sin. You have planned that all should come to know you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that opportunity to share. Amen. Now, this is not going to be necessarily a, quote, religious rule protocol. You're going to hear much if you tune in 7 p.m. Central Time, and as we know in America Central, not Eastern, or whatever time they are. We would ask you to tune in. By the way, we will not ask you for any money. We don't have any, called gimmicks to try to get money out of you or try to give you some kind of special thing that you have to buy and pay in order to get it. I am not definitely against the scriptural people giving to support the gospel or supporting the true authentic work of God. I'm definitely not against that. But it's so much of that going on today. Send me $1,000 and you'll be blessed. Give $100, and I'm not against giving. I'm not against giving as the scriptures mandate or as the heart of the Lord deal with your heart to support something that you feel is legitimate and real and promoting the gospel of Christ. That's up to you. But I'm saying we don't have any schemes and games and offering you a sand or something like that, grant a sand to put over your door, anything of that nature. We do have prayer, faith, and sharing with you the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God and the salvation, and what Jesus taught, what the apostles taught. We share that. Other people share what they share. And I'm not here to get into them, just to share what we share and what we know, what we understand, what the will of God is in Christ. There's confusion in these last days, so there's a lot of deception, corruption, darkness, confusion, distress, sickness, oppression. But here's the one single thing today, this evening. I just want to start off with this before I share with you a few things heart to heart and face to face. This one thing I want you to start off with Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant of all that we ask or think, according to the power of God in Christ that worketh in us. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, this is the centerfold, the core. In Luke chapter 2, the angels appeared in the heavens to these shepherds who was keeping their sheep by night. It's the awesome event that was to take place in the world, something so awesome and marvelous and wonderful, so great that the angels of heaven came down to these shepherds who were keeping their sheep. And the angels began to say, in Luke 2, began, I guess, at 9, good joy, glad tidings unto you this day. And the gospel is called good tidings, glad tidings. And this is the focus and the platform of what we call gospel good news, the redemption, and the hope of Israel and the hope of mankind. The angels of the Lord God began to say, speak these marvelous eternal words, announcement to the shepherds abiding in the field in over their sheets by night. Unto you is born you this day in the city of what? Bethlehem of Jerusalem. Christ the Lord, Yeshua, Mashiach. And they knew the promise of the Messiah coming. And the angels began to speak to them so they could announce it, and a marvelous announcement of an event that was to take place. And with great joy, the angels began to sing in the heavens. After making this announcement, unto you is born this day, given unto you, Christ, the Mashiach, the Lord. And if you read that, it was such a joyful occasion, an announcement, the greatest announcement that the world had ever heard at that time, 2,000 or more years ago. The greatest announcement that broke the darkness, veiled, fulfilled the prophets of the beginning of the world. The time had come to fulfill. He that come to redeem and deliver. Spoken by all the holy prophets in the world began, he is coming. From Adam, Genesis 3:15, the promise, a deliverer is coming. A savior, a redeemer. Hallelujah. And the time did arrive, announced it. In Luke. And angels announced it and revealed it to the three wise men who came hundreds and hundreds of miles to follow the angel star to the place where he was to be born. The three wise, or the magi, you might call them. They were wise enough to follow and look for him. But there must be something for them. Because they came from three different nations. At least three men, so yeah, the name said three, but we know if we search this, what happened, we know it was three. And they came from different places, and they came for many, many days and many miles. They were led. Now, do you think the devil led them there? Savior of the world is going to be born. Do you think the devil put in their minds or revealed to them? How was they given that to know it? Because it was ordained that they should find it. Hallelujah. Because every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father. They were led there by the star, the angels that direct them to that place, stood over that place. This is him. They had traveled many, 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 many miles. I don't know exactly how it was made known to them, by dream, by vision, or by reading some of the Old Testament Hebrew Aramaic scripture. I don't know these wise men, but they were wise enough. You can't say they were foolish or ignorant or stupid, because they searched for him who was to be the child, who was to be the king of the Jews. Are you searching? If you're seeking for the answer in this chaotic, dark, confused, troubled world around of you, but I'm telling you, beloved, if you want to be among that wise free man who came from the ends of the earth, following the angel star to the place where he is born, surely you can be wise today to find what they were searching for, and they found the babe. By the time they got to the babe, I guess he's about maybe, I don't know, how many months he was old, how old, maybe because it took a couple, at least 2 years old of where he was. They found the babe. They found the babe. He was not young because it took the time they found him, the 2 years when they heard about him, when they left, when they announced and it was made, two witnesses led them. Oh, I could tell you the witness of God about this called the good news. Christ, Mashiach, the Lord, the Redeemer. Holy Lord God Almighty, I want to thank you, Lord. Now, I just thought I'd throw that in because you need to start out with this good news and inspiration that it says, Acts 10:38, Jesus, God anointed Jesus, Yeshua Mashiach, with the Holy Ghost and power. And he went away, he went everywhere, healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. And that's what the good news is, the great news. So, here we are, 2,000 years and 20 more. People have dispelled and rejected that good news and cast it aside. That's why America's in a mess now. That's why she's in a mess. She didn't hear the report that the wise men or the shepherds that was abiding in the field by night, their report. That's why the Jews got cast away, because they rejected. His favorite and chosen people rejected the good news that they had been longing and hoped for deliverance from oppression. But we find that the, even the Jews, the Israelites, when he came as a morning star to deliverance and hope and redemption, they cast it away. Just like today, they are casting away many parts of the world, even in the Western world, this Jesus Christ and his redemption story. That's why America and all the world is in darkness and confusion. Simple as that. I know you think there's a political solution and a social. Well, you need to understand that everything starts with him, which is spiritual. Everything is first spiritual. When he created mankind, he created Adam. He disobeyed and rebelled, brought sin, sickness, disease, death, separation. Now Jesus came to reconcile us, redeem us, to recover us, the Mashiach, the risen Lord. I was talking today as I went to a certain part of Chicago called Hyde Park, where I lived near. Excuse me. And there was people with bullhorns out there. And normally, I'm on the street person in a bullhorn. At home, I love the streets. I love the ministry in the streets. I just love heart-to-heart and face-to-face encounters with people on the street, on the corner, or in every place. That's my love and my passion. I'm not too much a church, what you call a pulpit. I'm not too much. That's not my cup of tea. That's not my really design or assignment. But I'm there. But everyone has their particular talent and assignment. They should follow through with it. Follow through with it. Now listen. Joy seem to have fled from many parts of this earth, and there is hardly any peace anywhere. Do you know there's so many wars going, so much chaos, confusion, tyranny going in every part of the earth? Now, all of this is happening according to the prophets in the Bible. All this is what Jesus said and the apostles said would happen at the end of man's and Satan's rule, at the end of sin rule and Satan's rule, or at the end, at the beginning of the end of it, Matthew 24, the beginning of the end. We're in right now called the beginning of sorrow, the beginnings of sorrows. We're at the gate, which is called, the scriptures call it Great Tribulation. That means we just about one step away from Great Tribulation. In fact, I would say this, our toenail is in the gate of the Great Tribulation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A big toe is in the gate of Great Tribulation. You know, your big toe in the feet, and it just about entered it. Well, this is where we at the beginning of the Great Tribulation that Jesus referred to as Great Indignation beginning. And without the what we call the beginning, you know, when a woman have beginning birth pains, the beginning of a birth pains, she begin to travail. Well, we're now entering in where the earth is moaning and going to groan because of sin and wickedness and rebellion and rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord, just like Israel and the Jews did. Mm-hmm. Now, when we cast out Jesus out of America, the Christian nation, we have cast him out. We cast him away and cast away his teaching, his life, his death, and his resurrection and hope. When we cast this away, we invite the curse of judgment and destruction and darkness to take us over. And that's what you're seeing taking place in America. There's a few people who are holding up the light. I said there is a few people, a remnant of in Christ, in the gospel, are holding the beacon of light and refuse to be moved away from the rock, our salvation in Christ. There's a few. And they are seeing judgment and destruction from hitting America. Oh, you think the White House is going to deliver you and the economy is going to deliver you? I hate to disappoint you with that. That's not the message of deliverance. That's a message, all right, about a temporary and natural thing that would happen, but it won't spiritually solve the problem of mankind. So, if you're looking for after October 3rd or whatever it is, there's going to be such a drastic good change, you're putting all your hopes and your marbles in some political solution and even social solution, sadly, you will be disappointed. Now, I'm not saying that it's not going to be a benefit to have a just man in power or a righteous man or a good man or a wise man rule. Of course, it's going to be to our benefit. The scriptures say that. Hallelujah. But this talk about America's going to be great because of the economy, the devil would laugh at that. You think you're going to be delivered by money? Are you think America or any nation is going to be delivered by money of the economy? Sure, we need a good economy. Sure, everybody want opportunities and blessings. But don't be deceived. Putting your hope in a political deliverance is not what the scripture says. Jesus said, pray that my kingdom come on earth, at kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. Pray, he told his disciples, our Father, you prayed most of the people in their homes a lot of times way back. Used to teach their children to pray at night. This generation don't do too much of that. But I'm talking about 40, 50, 60 years back when they would get by the bedside of their children, they would pray, our Father, which art in heaven. It was a revelatory prayer that Jesus left on the scene revealing. He says, pray that thy kingdom, my kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Why? The kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Why did he tell us to look and pray and I'll set our sights on bring the kingdom of Christ coming to the earth? Hallelujah, redeeming. Now, you know that Jesus, when he began to preach in Mark 1:15 or whatever you want to read in Matthew, he began to preach and John the Baptist said, Prepare for the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God is at hand. Why did he most emphasize the kingdom more than it was to be revealed? Because the kingdom of God is going to be the most important part of the outshoot of the church, the body of Christ. The kingdom filling the earth. The kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of the living God. Announcement. A great announcement. The end of this kingdom of man. It's Revelation 20. The end is here, brother. What you're seeing is the end. That's why you see all this chaos trying to keep this kingdom and this world together. It's got to come to an end, brother. The rule of these governments, the rule of man and Satan over these, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is at an end. Did you hear that, devil? It's at an end. No use you kicking up all this frust. You're coming to an end, devil. Now listen, Jesus went everywhere when he came up on the earth as the Son of Man, and he began to show forth the kingdom and its power and its works. He demonstrated it in everything he did. A new day. A new day. I want to read this to you because I'm going to share a small part about the hope. If you're looking for any hope and you're drowning in sorrow and grief and agony and confusion, don't know what next is going to come to pass. Jesus said in Matthew 24, when this end collapse of man's rule and Satan's and the darkness over this world will begin to come to an end, and you begin to see all these things happen, hallelujah. He says in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, by the way, just in case you're not redeemed and you don't know anything about what it means being redeemed from the sinful nature of Adam, are being changed and transformed spiritually inside of you, a new heart and new spirit. You haven't had that happen. You may have not been told that you are in spiritual death, because when Adam sinned, sin passed upon everyone, the sin nature and the curse, you're separate from God. If you want to get back and be reconciled to Christ, to the living God today, you can make a decision today. Ephesians chapter and Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 10, give you an idea about making a decision. Salvation is a decision. Being reconciled to God is a decision of your heart. If you decide today in your heart of hearts, wherever you are, stationed in your house, your home, in the army, in the back alley, at the den, at the Playboy Club, or in the alley with the drink in the bottle, with the drug, dope sitting in the house, about to kill yourself, want to end it all, and you're so troubled that you're drinking yourself to death because there's don't have the fun. So you're just drinking and smoking and shooting and snipping and snopping and trying to die. But that's not the will of God, because if you die in that state, you're going to hell. You're going to a living fire. I know the devil done told you there is no hell. I know the devil done put this bad report, this wrong report in the world. There is no place called hell or heaven. He's put this report so that people will not know that they are sinners lost. They're lost and they need a Savior. See, sinners, the word sinner means I'm sin, I'm outside of the will of God, and I need a Savior. Just like meat needs salt, you need the salt of salvation in Christ, saved to the uttermost. Now, Romans chapter 3, read it. Romans chapter 5, read it, please. Romans 6, read it, please. Don't forget Romans 8. Which is the joy part, the victory part. Be sure you read that. Now, now we got that down. Excuse me. Now, no, I don't have too much faith in the coronavirus. I have faith in the promise of God. Now, fear will take you in a direction. Wisdom will take you in another direction, and faith will grumble you about to the victory. I said fear would take you down the road, and ignorance and fear would take you down. But faith in God and Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, with the wisdom to direct you, will give you the victory in everything that happens on the earth. And you start with the gospel of Christ, the full gospel. Not part of it, not diluted, not traditions, the full gospel, restored gospel that Jesus taught in the book of Acts, the apostles testified, the full gospel, not part of the gospel, not one third of the gospel, the full gospel. People hate when you say Pentecost. Many Christians who are many sinners and many religions hate the word Pentecost. And many churches have misaligned themselves and gave a bad image to the word Pentecost, or holiness. But traditionally, years ago, 40, 50 years ago, the centerfold of most of Christian faith, the greater part of victory, all churches in Christ had a blessing. But the greatest favor, a greater blessing, was upon the people in Pentecost, or holiness. Now, I'm not putting down the other groups that led people to Christ, but I'm saying the greater. There's a great and greater and the greatest. There's light and there's greater light and there's more light. Did you get that? And then there is little light, some light mixed with man's teaching, a little light with man's tradition, but then there is a purer light. As you look at the light, there's a bigger light with bird and it goes more light. That's why people go and buy 100 watt, they want a 200 watt bulb, because all light does not give the same light. So all churches get not the full revelation. Some are rejected part of certain truth. But the word Pentecost from the book of Acts, the word talking about a feast day, a particular Jewish feast day, 50, means 50 days after Christ rose from the dead, meaning 50 days after his resurrection, something happened. Something phenomenal happened in the book of Acts that Jesus and John the Baptist spoke about. John the Baptist spoke about this event. And today I'm going to tell you why this John the Baptist spoke about this, and John the Baptist speaking about it's in the last days, and Jesus is speaking about the same day. These two same persons talking about the kingdom and also talking about the Holy Spirit, referring to the Pentecost experience. Now, normal church, evangelist church, is not too cool on what we call Pentecost. But I'm not too worried about what they don't like. I'm more concerned about pleasing the Lord and getting the victory and triumph in this evil and dark, wicked world. What it's going to take? It's going to take the book of Acts, Pentecostal apostolic victory and power. Don't fool yourself. Get your mind off of your denomination. Get your mind on Jesus Christ and the fullness of his gospel revelation. That's why when the angels of the Lord spoke to the shepherds, they said, "Unto you is born this day in David," Luke 2, "a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now keep that in mind, Christ the Lord. So what did the Lord say? "Upon this rock I build my church." Talking about others, he said, "My church is built upon the rock of who I am and what I've done and what I preach." Get that straight now. The rock that Jesus is talking about is, he's talking about, "I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. I am what you are to build upon. I am the Redeemer, the Deliverer. I am your salvation. I am the hope. Build upon my blood, death, and resurrection, and go on Pentecost." That's okay. Yeah, I know. I'm not here to please nobody now. So I ain't going to apologize for trying to please the Lord. I do make mistakes, yes. Glad that you willing to correct me. I'm open to correction, proper correction. Now, the good news is when the angels announced that Jesus Christ is Lord. Did you get that? It didn't say Jesus just only the Savior. It says the angel said he is Lord. Do you know there's a difference between the part where you are saved and he is Savior and he becomes Lord? Do you know there's a difference between what a Lord is? In the feudal times, when lords were over in England, they were called your Lord, your King, your Highness. You know what that means? When my Lord, and they bow, said, "My Lord." Well, we have to bow to everything that Christ taught. Everything that he reveals, that's where we build and stand with. Well, I'm not saying you're not to love your church and love your, maybe you are not to love some of it. Maybe some things that you don't, better not. You better know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's one thing you better build up on. I just urge you to do that. There's a difference. Because it means the four corners of what he said and what he preached, teach, and demonstrate. You know what Jesus said? What I was thinking about what he said, and we just read that, and we don't always get it. The Holy Spirit has just kind of jam it open our eyes. I am the way. We just read that, you know, it just, okay. I am the truth. I'm the life. I'm the light. You know how important that is? That statement that Jesus, Yeshua, said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, I'm the light and the life. He says also in 11th chapter John, I am the life and the resurrection. Now, this is the key from not being deceived in these last days about all these different religions in the earth. Jesus said in 11th chapter John, in his visitation with his two friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, at his death, he didn't come to mourn. Jesus didn't come when Lazarus was dead 4 days. He didn't come to mourn. He came to glorify the Father. Yes, he wept. And he wasn't so much weeping about Lazarus. He was weeping about their unbelief. Do you know that? Jesus is weeping today at our unbelief. Jesus is crying today at the unbelief. Jesus said in Matthew 24, at the end of the age, will I find faith when I come? You will find so many American Christian nations of unbelieving and unbelievers in a Western nation. There'll be so much. This is the greatest curse probably upon America. Unbelief, not believing. Thus saith the Lord Jesus. Thus saith the gospel. Unbelief. Will I find faith? In what? Faith in him, faith in what he taught. Not faith in anything, but faith in him who is Lord, the risen Lord, and faith in what he spoke. From the White House to the street house. Chaos, because we do not believe and follow through and yield our lives and surrender that his word is Lord. His words, and he gave them to his apostles, his original 12. I'm talking about his original 12. Now, I'm not going to say anything about these modern-day apostles. I'm going to say about the original 12. Okay, I'm not going to get into that now. By all these apostles we got all over. I'll just let you discern that. So we're living in this time where we're getting good news from heaven and bad news from earth. So where are you hooked up to? You're looking up, you're listening to all that gobbledygook on the TV, but there's some good news. The gospel is coming on the TV. Some truth, revelation is coming on TV. So that's some good news. So hook up with that more than the other. And you want to get depressed, you listen to all this confusion among mankind and arguing about who's going to be president and governor and mayor and all that stuff, and our economy is good, and quit this. I'm not going to say it. I want to read something to you, if it's okay with your permission. I want you to consider this. Wherever you are in America, in the world, in the ends of the earth, listen to this. There is hope. Eternal hope, eternal light. I don't care whether you're in Russia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran. You know, one of the wise men that came to Jesus, you know, one of them came from Iran. You didn't know that, did you? The wise man that came looking for Jesus and followed the star, you know, actually came from Persia, from Iran, what we call today was Persia. Do you know one of them came from a certain part of Africa? Yeah, I know, all this racism. I guess they'd be kind of upset to find that the black man was one of them dog men, you know, because he was very dog and he was from Africa, and they came together, these three. How did they get together? And we can't get together. Because something in your heart ain't right. That's why you can't get together, because darkness and light don't mix. Darkness, I mean, they're talking about skin color. See, that's where the devil got everybody fooled. He thinks the problem is skin. Skin, brother. The problem is your heart. The heart of man. The nature of man. Oh, it's a racial problem. Yeah, it's a social problem. It's a cultural problem. Where did this come from? Your thinking and the condition of your heart. That's why Jesus got to transform your heart and your mind, your thinking, with the gospel. The gospel and the teaching of the apostles and Apostle Paul would straighten out America if they would sit at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, your word and your truth. And you begin to teach you from the 5th chapter of Matthew to 6th chapter to the 7th chapter, then he'll probably pray at the end of the prayer of the 17th chapter of John. That's the Jesus prayer. You want to know what the Jesus prayer is? John 17. That's the prayer that people are omitting. That is the prayer that holds a solution and answer. John, the gospel, the 17th chapter. That prayer is so important, so revealing, that most people ignore it. But it's a key to the kingdom, the key. If you're in Russia today, since this is women's and women's recognition and the women of God and the mothers and wives and ambassadors, the women who are doing their best to cultivate goodnesses and excellence and helping the earth, raising children and families and trying to plant good seed where the Lord can work with. If you're in New Zealand, Laos, Vietnam, Japan, the upper missionary of the Himalayas, near the Arctic Circle, Caribbean, Bermuda, Australia, Mexico, Brazil, Samoa, the Samoa Island, Siam, Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Ethiopia, Egypt, and you're struggling with the culture that was raised there and with the idol gods that's in all the world. Jesus knows exactly where you are. And that's why he's sending people with the gospel in all the world. And if he doesn't, the gospel, people don't, he appear to you in dreams and visions and send angels to you and open a door. If the missionaries don't find you, Jesus himself will come. And angels will come. And visions and dreams will come and speak to you and himself. Because he loves all mankind. He came to deliver from darkness. Now, I want to say this. That Jesus died because his love was so great for the Father, and the Father sent him to lay down his life to take it up again for you. I want you to read this. This is to all people and all believers. Even though I'm in the Church of Christ with the Elijah message, I don't believe that Jesus Christ has many parts of his body in all parts of this world, searching for the what Ephesians 4 says, in the last days, he's seeking to bring his body together in one. Ephesians 4 talks about he sent apostles, prophets, elders, teachers, intercessors, pastors, the prophets, to the perfecting of the saints, to the maturity of the saints. He's seeking to bring all parts of his body into one again, like it was in the beginning on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. He's got great ministries and great people being revealed, much of the word, much of the plan of God. Many, many great and wonderful works all over the earth. Many great men and women God doing great and received mighty revelation, great manifestation, visitations from the Lord Jesus. And he's working mighty works. And so We are a small remnant of the Church of Christ. We have a part to play. The other part of Christianity, they have a great important part to roll. They're doing a great work, and many of them are. The angel of the Lord that speaks this day, do angels come again? Angels, in the last book of Revelation, from the first book to the last book of Revelation, Jesus appeared, and then afterwards, all the revelation was by angels. And Jesus said at the end of the book, I, Jesus, had sent my angel to testify of these things. Revelation 22, I think, from 9 to 15. The last speaking, what we call the revelation of John, from the beginning was angels' visitation from Jesus in the first three chapters himself. He said, I send my angel to testify, to reveal those things to John. And he mentioned this. Oh, when is he stop being Jesus and doing the same things he did in the beginning? When did Christ start doing what he did 2,000 years ago? He said, I am the same. I am the same. I am the same. I am the same. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my word, my gospel, is everlasting to everlasting, my truth. Jesus said in John 17, my word is true, referring to the gospel, redemption. My word, my gospel. But the gospel is not the same gospel that Jesus gave on the day of Pentecost to the early apostles. It's not the same. They got certain fragments, parts, the fragmented parts. And you know, most churches, they'll say, well, we are the one. You go to the next one, well, we are the one. Then you go to one that has more light, a bigger bulb in their lamp. Oh, we got more light. Well, that may be true. And then you go to one that have even greater light. Now we come to the Church of Christ, the Lies and Message. They have great light also. They're working on some things that need to move some stuff out where the light can shine brighter so all people can see what the Lord has given us in these last days called with the Elijah message, because most people don't see it because a lot of darkness, a lot of the lamp, it's got a lot of darkness that need to be removed yet. All right, let's move on. The angel of the Lord spake on these last days. He said, is there no word from the Lord? I'm going to give you a word that the angel of the Lord spoke and messenger of the covenant brought and reveal. You have to check it out for yourself. He gave to one of the apostles in the Church of Christ, Elijah Method, and he spake these words, Apostle Double A Draves, as he appeared to him. The messenger of the covenant, Malachi 3, spoke these words. You check it out. He says, the angel said, a dark hand has been over my people, a hand of deception, which is great sorrow and grief to many. Some have thought to run before the Lord seeking prominence, to the discouragement of many and to the driving away of some. These weaknesses have been spoken of by my messenger to Adophetes. Some have overcome them, while others have been overcome with them, saith the Lord. Behold, the day is nigh at hand when the prophecies of old are being fulfilled. Nations shall yet be brought down, and lo, a mighty cry shall come from them that fall. The hearts of men must be turned to their Maker, the Creator of all. Yea, the just will suffer with the unjust, lest they draw from such. Take not part in contention and dark sayings. The plague shall sweep the nations, blood shall have their course, and famines shall take their place again. The plague of death and war has its effect on the nations. Men are taken to beyond, not knowing the love of God, nor what the end shall be. A call for laborers in the harvest goes out, for the harvest is ripening. Behold, it is white. The cry of the people come up before God. Their honest prayer shall be heard. Lo, will my servants do my bidding? Lo, will my servants do my bidding, said God. Must I call others? Must I call others? Must I call others? Fail not in your calling. But lift up your voices and carry your burdens to me, the Lord your God. And I shall hear, and lo, I will help you one and all. Be faithful. And I said, your Lord would stand you in holy places when the great destruction shall come. I will not take vengeance on those that know me when I come, but shall number you among my joys. And great shall be your joy. Out of weakness, many shall be made strong. Read the words of the Lord. Study. Read what the Lord said in the 26th message. Remember the Lord said, let the old and the young remember that humility must be their manner, for charity knoweth no evil. I just want to say, Father, he said, talk on ye, my servant. Listen to this, the angel, the Lord is speaking. Hark on ye, my servants. Go ye out to labor. Ye that are out, continue, for God is with you and will be. Great shall be the harvest. Many are looking for the message you bear. To those that take the message from house to house, place to place, heart to heart, I will be with you. I know your efforts already. And your needs continue, and you shall have great joy, peace of mind, and eternity have place for you. Come unto me, ye weary, and I shall strengthen you. Remember, I call the weak, and endure you with my Holy Spirit, causing great things to transpire among my children. Those that shall name my name. I leave these words with you. I bless you. Those that hear you in the name of the living God. Amen. Those are the angel message. I just wanted to read that to you in particular, and I thought that all believers, especially the Church of Christ, need to take hold to that in all the restoration and everyone that believe the book. By the way, on this day that you are alive, we must confront ourselves, why am I alive today? What purpose? What plan? From the time of creation, before you were born, before you came into the earth, before the Lord breathed into your mother's womb, and you had your mother and father, and he breathed life and command you to come in this earth. Jeremiah says, chapter 1, that he knew him from his mother's womb. And also before your mother's womb, Ephesians explains, chapter 1, 2, and 3, before we were born, God had put a purpose on us, but he didn't take away our free will. The Lord never takes away your free will to choose. Even though he ordained you for life to follow him, he doesn't force. You have to choose. You have to choose. If you read Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, it tells you about his purpose for you before the foundation, before you were born. His purpose for you in each individual. But just like Judas Iscariot, you have to choose. Just like King Solomon and Samson, you choose. Hallelujah. Just like he knew the hearts of Saul, who persecuted the church of God, and met him on the road to Damascus, and he was transformed. He will meet you if your heart loves truth and want it and desire it. He will meet you wherever you are. He will find you in every place because he says in John 10, my sheep. How do you divide between his sheep and those that are not? Because he died for sins of all. He died for all. In John 3, he gave his life for all to come, all to be reconciled to him. All, his love was for all. But in John, he says, my sheep, they hear my voice and follow me and come after me. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you don't hear the gospel of Christ, refuse it, then that divides you. As we come to a close, well, who am I? I am Brother Lee, and I'm an agitator. You know what an agitator is? An agitator that stir up. He provokes. He stir up. He awakens and alerts. He makes people often discomforted. An agitator. Now, there's all types of agitator. There's some bad and terrible agitators for evil. Then there's some good and better and some more excellent agitators for good and for righteousness and for the kingdom of God, agitators. Nelson Mandela and Steve Bilko were agitators. They were for social justice and freedom for their people. And they agitated South Africa, who had them in bondage, just like the children of Israel were in bondage. Steve Bilko and many others like him, prominent ones who stood out, and Nelson Mandela was willing to fight and agitate with agitators to that government. And they agitate them, provoking them, stirring them for social, economical, equal freedom and deliverance for their people. And they agitate them, and they were good agitators for good, for good, for justice and freedom and liberty. Dr. Martin Luther King was called and raised up to be a special man of the hour for social justice, equality and righteousness and fairness, freedom for his people, in particular the black people, the people of color in America, and not only for America but for the rest of the world. Nelson Mandela was called to that. Dr. King happened to be a Christian minister, not by coincidence, was called and raised up to bring about social change, social justice, to break the chain of bondage and darkness in America over black people, the injustice, the discrimination, bigotry, to bring a change in the social and just order of things in government order for the people. Most people that are raised up usually die and are killed. But I'm sort of like a little tiny, small agitator. They were agitators. They agitated the Jim Crow system that existed, controlled, destroyed the lives of people and stuffed out their freedom and liberty of equality of life. But King and all of the different ones that followed him or with him and many different groups were agitators for good and justice, for that which is right for a people. Different tools, different strokes, different means. Even though Malcolm X was a Muslim, and we are not Muslim and not believe that, he was used to agitate America. I know you think that the Lord can't permit to use unredeemed people. I know you think he can only use the righteous. I know you believe that, but that's not scriptural. Hallelujah. I know that's why some people are disappointed in our president, because he's not a redeemed person. And you think that the Lord God can't use an unredeemed pagan heathen person. At times our president acts like he's a heathen and pagan, and his behavior seems to note that. But he's called and chosen, and he's used. And I'm not going to get into that. But I'm an agitator, And I'm too. Many people get upset, and I upset people in many cases, and that's my small calling, or my significant calling. I stir up for good, not for selfish or pride, but stir up. Agitator, stir up, awake, arouse, alert, shake you, discomfort you, and also bring you to know life, to heal you, to make you whole. Now, agitators for good. I guess I'm a sort of a, I'm not a professional agitator like Dr. King and Bill Cole and Nelson Mandela and many other people and Phyllis Whitney, Dr. DeBoer and the different ones down through the who would choose to agitate America and its system. Hallelujah. Professional agitator like Abraham Lincoln, raised up by the Lord to be a tool to release people that were enslaved, who happened to be people of color. And he agitated the South so much so that war came. A war was fought. What was behind that war? It's the same thing behind the war in America today. The same spirit. I agitate people. I'm a spiritual agitator. And not for bad. I may be sometime referred to as bad, but my heart and God knows I'm to agitate and stir up people to awaken. Sometimes make people mad, upset because of the status quo. I'm to make people aware and alert to be healed, to be set free, to find the path, to get back in the pathway, because it's a message of love and concern. John the Baptist was a number one agitator in his day, a spiritual agitator. Listen, many of the holy prophets agitate Israel and the wicked and the godly and the heathen so much so that many of them gave their lives because the message they brought did not suit them, did not fit them, it disturbed them. It got them out of their nest and awakened them to God's righteousness and plan. And John the Baptist was an agitator of the number one, just like Jesus. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness, being trained, directed from birth, having the only man we have recorded in the abridged version who was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. I said John the Baptist, the only man we have on record that was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb for his assignment, in his first coming. He was an agitator of the highest degree. He upset the status quo, bro. The religious community could not stand him. The government, the Roman Empire, he was an agitator. Like no other agitator. And his assignment was from heaven, not from man. Now, some people are sent from man that maybe have some good, but when you're sent from on high, with an assignment and a charge from the Most High, that's the difference. Hallelujah. The revelations of truth and power and authority, heaven backs up. Know this. John the Baptist cried out at the River Jordan. His voice went all into the cities. No bullhorn, no technology. His voice hit between those mountains, the acoustics, and carried all the way into the city. Repent for the kingdom of God. Wow. No microphone. But his voice went all the way into the cities. I'm an agitator. And I'm actually in a very small way. I'm not going to reach everybody because I'm going to reach certain people. Everyone is given their gift the ability, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and their calling is to reach certain people in certain cultures. And they're going to draw and touch certain people. And God got many, many people there to touch many types of people in different cultures. Now, if one man could reach everybody in every culture, every type of person, then we would all be alike. We have the same talent and we have the same gift and mentality, but that's not so. That's why God has many members in the body of Christ, and they're all to reach and touch certain people from different colors, different skins, cultures, different understandings. So you are called and raised to find out what's your ministry assignment. So I'm going to reach out to the people that I agitate in a way because I'm given an assignment, and I'm given to reach certain people. And so I don't fret myself because I can't reach this one or that one, that one. I just do by the grace of God to reach the people that he has assigned for me to reach. The message is to all the world. The message is always to everyone to come, but I know that certain people are going to be awakened. So by the grace and the Holy Spirit, know the area of your assignment. Know the area of your assignment. And perfect it in Christ. And don't worry about what the other person doing, because his assignment may be different. His talent, his ability, his anointing may be great. So you're not to do what he do. You're to do what God assigned to you to do that the Holy Spirit has given you to perfect. Don't get confused because this person is doing a great work over here and this. You're not called to do that. You may be called to help, but your assignment is on your assignment. That's why when you're on a job, you're given different categories on that job, and often the supervisors come back and see whether you're on your assignment. And he'll walk by, if you're on a middle-class job where you have to be monitored or have a supervisor or a general supervisor, he'll come back and see whether you're on your assignment. And then when the supervisor walk about, he said, where is so-and-so at? He's not on his assignment. He's not on his desk. And he keep walking by and you're off your assignment. That's the why you're going to be in trouble. So let's stay on assignment with God and don't worry about the other fellow. Concern yourself to help people as much as you can, but stay on your assignment. Stay on the vision. Stay where the in your heart where God gifted you, and you go that way, and don't be jealous of nobody else, because whatever God gives you, he will perfectly reward you if you do your best. I say he'll perfectly reward you. See, everyone is given different gifts and talents, both naturally and spiritually. Everyone is not meant to be a physical mathematician naturally or engineer. So don't fret yourself. Perfect that which he has given you, and it shall be well. Know the area of your gift and your calling. Now, in spiritual things, God gifts people and anoint people. Just like Paul, the apostle, was stood out among all the apostles for that special assignment that he was given. Three men were given special revelatory assignment. And Paul, the apostle, John, the revelator, and Peter, they were given special insight to the kingdom and to the end of all things. They were given special insight. The Old Testament, there was prophets that was given special anointing and special power. Moses, Joshua, Elijah. These men with Enoch were given, Enoch was given the revelation of all things from the beginning of the world to the end. John the Revelation was given revelation from this time from the beginning to the end. Apostle Paul was given a revelation about the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom from the beginning to the end. Peter was given great insight from the beginning of the church age to the end. Elisha was a type of deliverance in the Moses, and the prophet Moses and Elijah stands out. That's why when they appeared to Jesus on that mount, Moses and Elijah, because they have same like ministry, and which are going to be revealed in these last days in the church. Their ministry or their power is going to be revealed. That's why he called restoring of all things, because the ministry and power of Moses and Elijah is going to be manifested greater and mightier in these last days. That's why it says Elijah restoreth all things. But Elijah, Church of Christ has got a long ways from that. There is a people coming that's going to walk in the mantle and power of Moses and Elijah. Hallelujah. There's a people in the Church of Christ, Elijah, that he's bringing forth from all nations, from all churches. Some are going to be Pentecostals already. Some of them are going to be all from all areas of Christianity. Some are going to be sinners. Some be heathens and pagans. But they're coming. They'll be rising up now. They'll be preserved. They're going to take this church and where the whole world, the nation, even the prophet are going to recognize the work of the Church of Christ, Elijah Mitt. That's coming by this people that's spoken of in 88 message and 86 message and 89 message. They're not going to be hindered by anybody. These people and the new people are not going to be hindered by anything. Hallelujah. They're going to take it forth. Like Joshua said, let's cross Jordan. Let's cross Jordan. It's time for our awakening to cross Jordan. I'm an agitator. And I turn people off and I turn people in. Hey, John the Baptist crying out, and he upset the status quo. And he began to cry, and it says that what happened? The religious community and the ruling committee among the Jews came down to John, and John said something. Listen. John said something to upset the status quo. The Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees came down. Matthew chapter 3. And man, this Baptist was crying out and saying, preaching and baptized the repentance in Jordan. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Many were baptized in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now he began to upset the ruling status quo of the religious community. When many Pharisees and Sadducees came to the baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. Think not to say you have Abraham as your father. I say to you that Yahweh is able to raise up these stones, to raise up children out of these stones unto Abraham. Yeah. Now, he said the axe is laid at the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into fire. Wow. You know, that was like agitated. He disturbed. He disturbed all the religious community. He cried out, and he went to the crowd, and he said to the king, went on to the government. See, this agitation got to go all the way to the government. And John the Baptist began to cry out to the government in that day to the king. He says, King Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He done stole his brother's wife. They were together. And he began to cry into the government, the sins in the government of that day. Hallelujah. What you happen with the prophets who begin to cry out about the evil and the wickedness. I'm not talking about just picking on the Democrats. I'm not talking about calling about the sins of the Democrats. I'm talking about the sin of all of them, from the Democrats, the conservatives, Republicans, and the hangabout socialists and progressives who rejected the gospel and biblical standards. John the Baptist would cry out to them, from the prevenant to the ruling to the mayor. We need somebody to cry out to City Hall, to the governor, to the ruling in U.S. Senate and Republican Party, and to the White House. He was an agitator. That is quote. Jesus himself was an agitator. He overturned in the house of the Lord the thieves and merchandisers and said, you have made my father's house a den of thieves. That means there has to be a cleansing in the Christian church world. Because money and self-glory has taken over many churches. And false religions worship money, idolatry, and paganism. And Jesus went into the house and the temple. He agitated them and spoke against them. And Jesus said many things. And I want to read you just so we go off what Jesus agitated them in the 20, I want you to read what Jesus said in the 23rd chapter of Matthew when he began to disturb. I want you to go to the 23rd chapter as we close. Jesus was the agitator to overthrow the status quo. So I agitate people in many areas, some for the good, some for the most good. That's my calling. Jesus said to the status quo in his day, Matthew 23. He began to speak against the status quo rulers, religious leaders of his day. He began to say, they put heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. Many, many church and religious people, they put all these burdens on people. We want to build this 5 million, 10 million this. Is it for the glory of God? Is it for the glory of man? Are they building this for the glory of man? Are they competing with the next door neighbors that we build a bigger church and a bigger tent and a bigger choir? And I want to have a bigger choir and a more dressed choir. Is this for the glory of God or for the glory of man? Well, I want to have a special pulpit, and I want, you know, I need everybody to give 5,000, 10,000. Is this for the glory of man or for the glory and the honor of God? In that day, Jesus said they bind burdens grievously borne and lay them not on their own shoulder, but they lay them on the shoulders of the people. For all their works they do to be seen of men. They made broad their phylactery and enlarged the borders of their garment. They love the uppermost room of feasts with the chief seat in the synagogue. They love the show, the grading in the market. Rabbi, rabbi, archbishop, bow down. The bishop come in, bow down. We're supposed to give honor and respect to the ministry. Today, woe unto you scribes and your Pharisees, Jesus said, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, but neither go you yourselves, neither suffer ye them that enter to go into the kingdom. Woe unto you scribes and you Pharisees and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you Pharisees and scribes, hypocrites, for you compare sea and land to make one proselyte, when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. Ye fools and blind, but whether it's greater, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold. Ye fools and blind, whether it's greater the gift or the altar that sanctified the gift. Woe be unto you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and ninus and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind Pharisee, woe be unto you, scribes and Pharisee hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup, but the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess and dead men's bones. Jesus was an agitator of the status quo. You may not think that there's not a ministry where people upset and disturb the status quo. Now, yeah, I disturb many people, and I also enlighten, illuminate, and bless people to call them to stand forth and to be awakened out of the love of God, not just to cause them pain and suffering, but the agitators of love and justice and truth is there for the good of the people. And when we send up God for the good of mankind, listen, beloved, John the Baptist, Jeremiah the agitator, Jesus himself was killed because he agitates the wrong people, the status quo this day. I agitate people sometimes, but I also bless people in this agitation and help many people. I agitate people in the Church of Christ, Elijah Method, the Church of Uplong. Yes, I've agitated people. Hallelujah. And I've not always, they said, been wrong, nor have I always been wrong. Yes, I made mistakes, of course. But the majority of the time, hallelujah, I've been on the mark because God gave me the mark. Not because I'm infallible, but because God gave me the mark. When God gave me the mark, he would authenticate it and he would back it up. Yes, I disturb people in my even my own body of believers. And I'm going to continue to stir people everywhere to awaken them. Jesus is coming. Prepare to meet your Lord. Elijah has come with a voice. I'm the agitator, Brother Lee, with love. What? For good, for righteousness, for the kingdom of God. Yes, that's my love from Jesus. As we close this broadcast, somebody have agitated you because they love you enough to tell you about the truth of the gospel, that you need to come and submit to Jesus. Would you come today and say, today is my day. I know people have upset me, made me mad, told me that Jesus loves me and I need to come and give my heart and life to him, to surrender to him as it's written in the scriptures. Today is your day of decision. You went away from God. You once knew Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Not just went away from the church. I'm talking about living your heart from Christ. I'm not talking about just joining a church. I'm talking about joining the Lord, the Savior, the Redeemer, giving your heart and your life, submitting to him, presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy unto him. Today is your day of decision. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and shed your blood for my redemption and my sin. You paid the price. You paid the price. You love me if you gave your life. You gave your life to redeem me. And you rose on the third day for my justification and my deliverance. I believe it. Today, I open my heart, and I turn from my iniquity and sins. I give my heart to you. Blot out my iniquity and my sin. Washed and white and new. I trust you. I trust you to be my Savior. I trust you at your promise that if I call upon you and surrender my heart and life and faith to you, you will come in and save me. I believe you. I'm inviting you in now into my life. I'm trusting you now to be Lord and Savior. Transform, deliver me. Make me completely whole. This is my faith in you today. And Lord Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost and power. Lead me to the church that you want me to be. Plant me in the body of believers that you want me to be, that I may be baptized in your name and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I love you. This is the Agitator for Jesus Christ. Amen.